it. So the next kind of hack that we're going to look at is publicity. How do you sell your podcast? You've got the idea, you have it made, you've got proof of concept, maybe you've got a few episodes up. How do you get more people to hear it? How do you get it out there? So to help us talk about that, we've got Peter Wells. Now, Peter started podcasting about a decade ago, and for the last 5 years he's written a tech column for the SMH. Last year he launched the paper's first dedicated podcast column. So he knows a thing or two about how to get podcasts in the press and what to have in your press kit, which is a thing, apparently. So please welcome Peter Wells.
Well, that's kind of true. I did have a podcast that I'm sure no one in this room has actually ever heard. So I was terrible at selling my own podcasts. But over the last year, being in touch with some very professional people who sell podcasts for a living, I've been able to see how the pros do it. And I've really enjoyed the last year of writing this column. It honestly is the professional highlight of my week, just to see how happy some people get when I share their podcast. I really should have shown Rudy's mentions, because it was so adorable. Like, all her friends were like, oh my God, you're in the paper! And it just made me feel so good about the fact that I basically don't sleep because I'm listening to podcasts all day. So in the last year, I've written 56 columns. I've covered 89 podcasts. I've done 34 interviews. And I know the joke about the definition of a podcast is three white guys and a microphone. And so I've been really kind of conscious about that. And I'm happy to say that the breakdown of gender for the people I've interviewed has been 55% female. So I just want to... Oh, thanks. But this tweet was true. I had no idea what the hell I was doing when I was first offered the podcast column. I just thought... I had been known for writing about podcasts. I would sneak them into my tech column. And so the editor at the time said, yeah, you seem like the best person. Here it is. And I already had a full-time job. I already had a tech column. I had no idea how I was going to fill this time. But then I interviewed Pat Karvelas. And I'd been doing a lot of different stories at the time. And I was always really kind of like, I just never understood how to kind of format the column. And I would love you guys to go back and read this, because I think if you need to learn how to sell your show, PK does a fantastic job in this article. She is just so incredibly on point. And, you know, they always say in tech that you always have to have an elevator pitch. You know, if you can't explain your product in that short amount of time, then you don't really understand what your product is. And I think it's true with podcasts as well. You need to understand what your podcast is and be able to sell it really, really well. And the great thing about this was I've been a massive Party Room fan since the first episode. And so I knew kind of going in what questions I really wanted to ask. But in terms of that elevator pitch, PK, as you might imagine, she was just on stage. She's on TV all the time. She's on radio all the time. She does podcasts. I don't know when she sleeps either, but... So organising an interview with her was really, really difficult. It just kept falling through, but I was really insistent on making sure that happened. And so when I actually finally got to speak to her, I swear to God, I could hear her leaving the studio, going down an elevator, crossing the ABC lobby. I think she bought a muffin. I'm not too sure. She definitely bought foodstuffs from a cafeteria of some kind. And then this whole time just banged out this perfect kind of response of what her podcast was, what it meant, why it was different, why podcasting is different to radio, the insights she's learnt about her audience, just incredible. Like, I think I ended up with about, after 10 minutes of recording, about 50,000 words that I had to cut down to 500, which was a struggle. But that really became the format that I now use for this column, which is, the highlights here are my words. But generally speaking now, I just kind of like introduce what the podcast is about, and then I just get out of the way and let the podcaster tell their story, because generally speaking, podcasters are really good at telling their stories. But again, I would really ask you to go back and have a look at that one, just because I think it's a masterclass in kind of like having a clear idea of what your show is about. And this was a show that was actually pitched to me. The show was very, very popular, as you can see, 3 million podcast listeners already by the time I got to it. But the people behind this podcast, Acast, if you're in there, are very, very good at PR. They are very insistent, is the polite way I would say that. And so when this podcast first came out, they would contact me pretty much every week. Every single time there was a new episode, they'd say, hey, this new thing has happened in our story, and I think it's really worthwhile for you guys to read about it. And I know everyone still loves true crime podcasts, but I did like 4 true crime stories in a row, and it just did my head in. And so I kind of promised myself I wouldn't write about true crime again until 2020, which was a very dumb thing to promise considering how the charts are going. But anyway, I finally just said that to the PR company. I was just like, look, I'm done. I know the market isn't done with true crime, but I personally am. And they called me straight after I sent that email and said, again, very insistent, but very good at their jobs. They called me straight after that email and said, look, we totally understand that, but we think that this story is really different. And the fact that Alison is the daughter of the missing woman and she hosts the podcast is really, really interesting. And I think just interview her, no pressure. I was like, okay. And they were like, okay, great, she can be on the phone in 10 minutes. Very good at their job, right? And so this was the article impact. By the way, PowerPoint is awful. I've used Keynote for the last decade. I'm sorry my slides are so ugly. But anyway, we had done... they'd been doing about 20,000 daily downloads at that point, which sounds pretty bloody good to me. The day of publish, they added 8,000 extra downloads to their show. The day after, 39,000 extra people listened to their show. So it was a pretty big impact on them, and it was massive for SMH as well, actually. It sat on the front page, as in the online front page, for 3 days, which is something that's never really happened to my podcast column before. And it was just one of those things that people were just chatting to me about for months on end afterwards. And like I said, this came about because of a very clever PR person constantly pitching at me until I gave in. But I wanted to ask, where are all the independent pitches? Because I have never received a pitch from an independent podcast in the last year. What was that? I put my phone on silent. I know most journalists wouldn't come up on stage and say, hey, give me more pitches, but I'm not really a journalist, so I can get away with that. I see so many pitches, and most of them are about true crime, so please, if you do something that's not true crime, please send away. But I just really want you to know, like, the best way to kind of contact me about that, and it does involve a bit of a... First of all, it involves a really short email, a really short one, because I get about 50 or 60 pitches a day, most of them for tech, but... Just something really, really simple. Here it is. Here's the show I'm talking about. By the way, Ono, Ross and Kerry is a fantastic independent podcast, so to share the love of recommending podcasts to other people, download that if you haven't. It's fantastic. But yeah, this is the pitch I wrote for them. It's just basically their blurb from the website, and then you can listen to the trailer here. So if you don't have a trailer for your podcast, that is your homework for the week. You need to have a trailer, because so many people... send me, like, now that they know that I do this for a living, or part of a living, they will say to me, oh, dude, you've got to listen to this show, it's the best. And I click through, and it's like 300 episodes, and each is 90 minutes long. And that's pretty daunting. And I'm really reluctant to do any write-ups about shows like that I don't know personally. Because, like, what if you were, like, weirdly racist for 20 episodes back in 2015? Like, I'm scared... to bring an audience to, especially if you're a dude, no offense, but like, I'm really scared to bring an audience to someone who might have a really kind of crazy past. And so, if you do have a very deep archive, that's when you need a media kit. That's when you need a full media kit of headshot, first of all, because I can't write about you unless I have a headshot. I need the ability to, if you can have a trailer, if it's a short run series, a trailer is fine. But if it's a 300 episode thing that has a very deep history, give me a best of. Give me a, like, put something together. Ask your fans if, you know, what clips they recommend should be in your best of. And even if you've just got, sorry, my time's up. Even if you've just got 17 listeners, as long as they're really passionate 17 listeners, if they're the ones who would buy your merch, I want to hear about it. Like, the joy of the podcast medium is how diverse it is. And unfortunately, for the first year of this column, my column hasn't been as diverse as I would like it to be because I'm not getting those independent pitches, which apparently everyone is now sending. So I thank you for that. And, enjoy the rest of the day.